The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ho, ho, yo! Welcome in, everybody. This is the QB List Podcast. You've got your host tonight, Too Much Brian, and beside me, the waiver wire wizard, Mario Adamo Jr. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing better after that intro. Oh my goodness. The holiday remix. Happy holidays, y'all. I'm pumped. I can't wait.
Absolutely. We've got Hanukkah just in and up, Christmas right around the corner, all those other holidays that I can't remember right off the tip of my tongue, but it's that time of year. I'm excited. Loaded up on sugar, all the cookies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There we go. Yeah. It's nog season. It's a good season.
Well, folks, tonight we're going to mix things up a little bit because it is the second week of your playoffs and in most leagues anyway. So we're going to do a little bit more of a sit start style, break down a bunch of these, hot topic players, if you will. These guys, we just can't decide whether we're going to put them in or not. So you ready to kick things off?
Let's do it.
All righty. All right, we're going to start it off with some injuries. We've got a handful of stuff. People take note, we are recording this Wednesday night, trying to get it to you early. But at the same time, we're going to have to keep track of practice reports because we've got the Wednesday ones and it's a hot mess right now. Starting off, we've got Ja'Marr Chase, clean out. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
CJ Stroud looks like he's going to be out again. We're going to see, was it Simeon that was back there?
It was Case Keenum.
Or Case Keenum. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Case Keenum. We'll probably see him again as they compete for the division, so that'll be fun. Probably not startable in the fantasy playoffs, but fun.
Yeah, so Nico Collins was limited at practice, so that'll be an interesting start. That's without fun. CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
We've got Rodgers. He's coming off IR, but he's not playing this year. Too bad. Jets are toast. Zach Wilson is in concussion protocol, so we won't get him again this week. Are you excited for anything in that backfield right now?
In that backfield? Yeah, I guess I'd have to double check who is going to be the quarterback because they got rid of, I'm totally blanking on his name, but the person who did like some starts for them in place of Zach Wilson. Tim Boyle. So they cut Tim Boyle. Flacco is obviously taken. So I don't know who's going to be starting. Definitely is making me fade Garrett Wilson. But I am actually excited about Breece Hall. He's got a juicy matchup going against the – I wrote so many notes. I didn't write down the team he's going up against. He's going against Washington. Washington allows the second most points to running backs. So I am excited. But here's a little note that I'll say Hall has five or fewer standard points in three of the last four. But so I'm fading him a little bit in standard, but his PPR floor is much higher. He has 12 or fewer, at least 12. So like him more there.
Yeah. His yards per carry this year has just been pitiful. You have to ramp it up to that offensive line, but I hope he can catch half a dozen plus passes this week.
Yeah. He's Kamara light this week. Basically is like what you're kind of hoping for. And it's like, with no Zach Wilson, are you going to have whoever the mystery quarterback is going to be starting for the Jets? Is he going to be doing more dump offs? Tough to say. So it's tough. It's a good matchup, but bad circumstance being on the Jets.
Falcons and Colts are meeting in this week's matchups. Heinicke seems to be starting the rest of the season, although we heard that about Ridder, I feel like, several weeks ago when he took over for Heinicke. But final 3 weeks, Ridder will be on the bench, and Jonathan Taylor for the Colts looks like he might be suiting up this week in the matchup.
Yes, excited to see Jonathan Taylor today. He was a full participant. My understanding is that it was not, it was just a walkthrough day, right? It's Wednesday, as you mentioned, as we're recording, but he was a full participant in the walkthrough. So love seeing that.
Trevor Lawrence in concussion protocol. Looks like we might be missing him as well this week. Stay tuned. You got to keep up with that. He could get cleared, you know, Friday, Saturday. A lot can change there, but they've been playing the Buccaneers. And, ooh, it's a juicy matchup for him. So you got to hope he plays, but it looks not that way. Yeah. Zay Jones is week to week within that game as well, so something to monitor. You know, Calvin Ridley, is that explosion game coming even without Trevor Lawrence? Zay Jones is buddy.
Zay Jones is buddy. If Zay Jones doesn't play, Ridley is not performing well. That's just, it's funny how things like that work sometimes, but that's just how it is. So if no Zay Jones, I am fading Ridley unironically if Zay Jones isn't out there. And you have to think if Trevor Lawrence isn't out there, again, like, I'm not too sure who the backup is. But I think that if the backup plays, it doesn't affect, and Zay Jones plays, it doesn't hurt Ridley too much. Because we've just seen it in other teams right now, like the Bengals are a good example, where it's like, even if you have a backup quarterback, you know, you still need to get the ball in the hands of your best player. The Jags are very much trying to win the AFC South, so you have to think they give the ball to their best player.
James Cook, DNP on Wednesday with an illness. Bills do play Saturday, so you're hoping he recovers a little sooner than he would on a normal week, but he should be good to go. Chris Olave is good to go. We'll be starting in week 16. This one was a little surprising that popped up. Kenneth Walker missed practice with a new injury, shoulder injury. Are we going to be excited about the rookie starting Charbonnet pouring us a glass?
They're playing Tennessee, so I do like that matchup because Tennessee, they're pretty middle of the road, actually. But it's just, we talked about it in the past, like when the Seattle Seahawks played the 49ers. It's just Pete Carroll's running backs. You know they're going to get usage. You know he's going to run them into the ground. So if, and you did, oh no, he doesn't play Saturday. But so if Walker doesn't go out there, I do consider Charbonnet a very juicy, you know, it's crisp, it's light on the palate. I think you're definitely firing him up as running back too, or like, I like him as a really good flex play.
I like that. The usage here, I'm looking at 15 touches or 15 carries, 14 carries, 19 carries. And he also had 10 targets as well through those, or 12 targets, I'm sorry, through those three games. So that usage is great despite us seeing a lackluster performance from him. I think he should have a decent day against Tennessee if he does get the go.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we've got the Dolphins, and boy, are they injured. Or are still injured? I'm not really sure how this works. Devon Achane, DNP in practice. Mostert, DNP. Knee, ankle, and veteran rest day. I think these guys are just a little banged up. They're smaller guys. Well, Mostert's not exactly small, but I think that
he's old.
He's old, you know. So I think this is just a chance for them to stay healthy, make sure that they can get through the season because Dolphins seem to be, you know, gearing up for the playoffs.
Oh, definitely. I'll say I'd feel a little bit better if that vet rest was the first thing and not the last thing. But the fact that it's on there gives me confidence that Mostert should be out there. Achane has kind of been in and off the injury report all season, and he has missed some time. So I am more worried about Achane, but Mostert, as long as I see that vet rest, I'm good to go. I'm ignoring, like, la, 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 fingers in the ears, like, we're fine. But this is Wednesday, so keep an eye on Thursday's reports, Friday's reports.
Yeah, they're a Sunday game. Because, folks, if you haven't checked the schedule, we do have games. One tomorrow night, the Thursday, we've got Saturday games, we've got Sunday games, and of course the triple header on Christmas.
Oh yeah.
And then Tyreek Hill, last one I didn't mention for the Dolphins, not at practice, ankle injury. You know, he missed last week. I'm sure he's still chasing history right now. He still has a shot at that record, so I think we see him this week.
I do too, but he is someone, out of everybody we're talking about, he's the one who is, the Thursday practice is going to mean the most to me. Just because I will say he's a veteran. It's not uncommon to see the veterans rest up on Wednesday. But if he misses practice, even if he's limited, I'm holding my breath. But if he misses practice Thursday, I'm very concerned, and I'm really already exploring my options for a backup.
Isn't that terrible? He's taken so many teams to the playoffs, and you finally get there, and you're left sitting there holding just – what you got? What you got?
Oh, I was one of those teams in one random league, you know, in like a work league. I had Tyreek Hill, Keenan Allen. They got me there. 11-2 in style. Derrick Henry was part of that squad too. And then last week it was just like, well, you know, we did our job of getting you here. And it's like, no, you're like, you are the team. If you're not here, we ain't here. So Tyreek Hill, if you man, maybe you had a bye last week. So you're praying he comes back, but big, 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 keep an eye on Thursday practice reports.
100%. All righty. You ready to get into some of these sit start questions?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's talk about the nice list and the naughty list this season.
Absolutely. All right, well, wake up, folks, because that kind of put me to sleep a little bit. All right, so we're going to go over. We both have a handful of players at each position we want to go over, kind of talk about where they're looking in comparison to other players you could be, you know, possibilities on your roster. First one I want to talk about is Jordan Love. Which should be a juicy matchup against the Carolina Panthers. This team is actually the number one team against quarterbacks at this point in the season. They're only allowing 13 points to the quarterback position. Jordan Love, he is hot. He is cold. He does not love to be consistent here. Last week, we saw a multi-touchdown game from him. The week before, just one touchdown and only 200 yards. Where are you at on Jordan Love so far for this game? I'm not really sure quite where I want to put him.
Oh, I love this. It is a, in my eyes, it's a softball one. Like you mentioned, Carolina, surprisingly, the best team against quarterbacks, allowing the fewest points. and Jordan Love has just been hot and cold, right? Like, we saw him put up 23 points against Kansas City, who Kansas City is a pretty solid team, obviously. And then you see him against the Giants. He put up 9.9 points in a game that you have to expect them to win, but he ran into Tommy Cutlets. And I'll say the Tommy Cutlets game and this game versus Carolina, both of them on the road. So we could have a little bit of that Jared Goff energy where you need to be, you know, he's a home dog. He's a warm dog. But so I am very worried about Jordan Love. He is someone on my naughty list. He's someone where if you're if you're starting Jordan Love, there may not be better options on the waiver wire, right? Because I feel like that's where you got him in the first place, but I'm at least skimming through. I'm entertaining the thoughts of a Jake Browning, which I hate to say, maybe even a Nick Mullins against Detroit, because, you know, they're going to be in a shootout versus Jordan Love.
The thought that we're talking about Mullins right now
in the playoffs,
as a start, and Browning, it shakes me a little bit, you know. But yeah, it's a difficult one for sure. I'm not really sure. Russell Wilson. You want Russell Wilson or Jordan Love?
Russell Wilson. He's playing New England.
Yeah.
I think I'd take Russell Wilson just for the sake where all of the games that Denver loses, it really doesn't feel like it's been Russell Wilson's fault this season, right? Like, he's been doing his job. He gets the ball to Cortland Sutton. He has a safer floor. Like, Russell Wilson isn't going to get you 20 points. He hasn't gotten 20 points since week 4 at Chicago. He's gotten very consistent, 17, 16, 18, 16. He has a solid floor. This is the playoffs. I'm chasing consistency almost always, unless you're the underdog, you're a 6 seed going against the 1 seed, maybe. I think I'm going Russell Wilson, which feels crazy. And he's probably available. Oh, nope, he's rostered 72% of Yahoo leagues. Crazy.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you there. Jordan Love, I think my biggest worry in this game is it's just not going to be competitive enough. You know, like, Bryce Young's not going to get in a shootout with Jordan Love, and that's kind of what he needs. He needs these offenses so they can go back and forth. And this, you know, is looking right now to be a low-scoring game. It's the second lowest on the slate, actually, behind the Broncos and the Patriots. We're looking at 36.5 points is where Vegas has this game. So Green Bay struggles, the second worst team running the ball this year. So if they can't run the ball on the Panthers, who are decent at run blocking or, you know, defending the run, I think that I just don't know if Jordan Love is going to be asked to do that much. I like the Russell Wilson call for sure.
Yeah.
And he's on over, I didn't realize you had Jordan Love as well. So this was
That's why I said it was a nice little softball one. You know, you're not making me do Sophie's choice off the gate, which I like.
Well, give me another guy you're looking at.
I'll give you another quarterback that I'm more optimistic on, a quarterback who's on my nice list, and that's Justin Fields. If you followed the QB list, either waiver wire pod, start sit pod, you know I love preaching about Justin Fields. I'm excited about this matchup this week, home versus the Cardinals. Cardinals, one of the worst teams in football. Since week 11, the Cardinals have allowed the ninth most points to opposing quarterbacks. Justin Fields, he plays quarterback. He did have, obviously, the bad week last week, but he was playing Cleveland. And Cleveland is a really good defense. They went to Cleveland. This one's home. The last couple games where Justin Fields has been home, the last game he was home was versus Detroit back in week 14. Before that, you have to look to before he got injured. But 24 points at home. I like seeing that. I think it's going to be a repeat of that. I'm really excited about Justin Fields. Obviously, you know, you're not finding him on waivers, but he's someone I'm definitely like hammering. If you're any, because he missed a lot of time, right? So you may be between him, maybe a Kyler Murray, maybe I'm not sure, but I love Justin Fields this week.
Nice. And he put up a stinker last week. If you had him last week, he's not the reason you advanced in the playoffs. No. Or you had the bye week and you really lucked out. QB 26 is what he finished the week as. And I get the hesitancy people would have, but like you said, Arizona is terrible against guarding the quarterback position, but they're even worse against the running back. And it's kind of what Justin Fields has going for him, his running ability. So I think he should be a confident start. Say, you know, like you said, he was hurt. You've probably got a second quarterback on your bench just for that reason. Say you have Matthew Stafford on the bench. You starting him over Stafford, who has been hot, hot, hot?
I am. I'm starting him over Stafford. Again, I understand he had a bad week last week. He left a sour taste in your mouth. But Cleveland, since week one, they allowed the fourth fewest points to fantasy quarterbacks. Justin Fields, as high as I am on him, he's not matchup proof like some of these other guys are, like a Josh Allen, a Jalen Hurts is, you know, a Lamar Patrick. But I love Justin Fields here. He is really high. He might be a top three start for me this week.
Well, while we're in this game, let's go ahead and talk about a player I want to, you know, I'm a little unsure of. Let's pull him off Santa's lap over there. Kyler Murray, step up to the stage. You're a question mark to me this week, buddy. You're playing the Bears, who over the season have not been a good team, but over the last several weeks since they've acquired Sweat from Washington, this has been a different team. They have been getting after the quarterback, and Kyler didn't do great for us last week, but what's your thoughts on him?
I'm a little hesitant. So like you said, over the last couple of weeks, so I'm looking from week 12 to now, Chicago has allowed the 2, 4, 6, 8 fewest points to quarterbacks. I'm a little hesitant about that. Kyler, he's going to Chicago. I'm a little nervous about this matchup. I feel like Kyler's still kind of getting into this rhythm, but he did have like versus San Fran last week, and he did a fine 15. Again, I don't think Kyler's matchup proof. I think this is a tough matchup. You're really looking ahead to that week 17 at Philadelphia, who just can't defend anybody at any position. Kyler's a slam start here, but I think next week I kind of have him in my low teens for Kyler. Like maybe he's like quarterback 11, 12. So not ideal to start him in the playoffs.
We just talked about Jordan Love. We taking him over Jordan Love?
I think I am. I think Kyler Murray is just a little bit more, a little bit of a higher floor yet lower ceiling kind of guy. And I think even his ceiling could be high. Like we're seeing, he scored 22 points week 11 at Houston. So it's possible for him to get that big boom game, but even his floor, his lowest game was being granted. It was 11 points, but after that, his next low was 15, 18 for Kyler. I would take Kyler over Love.
I like that call. Because we've talked about how good the Bears were against, you know, quarterbacks in the stretch. But if you look at the quarterbacks they faced, none of them have that dual threat ability that we can see from Kyler. They played Flacco. They played Jared Goff. I believe Flacco, it was Mullins for this game. Goff again. And then Bryce Young, who his over-under every week is 11 yards because I take it just about every week. But, you know, he doesn't do a whole lot running the ball. So I do think that upside is there with him. And like you said, right around that like low-end QB1, maybe high-end QB2 is where he should fall this week.
Yeah, I'd say he's a very high QB2, Kyler Murray. I like that the point you mentioned about where Chicago just doesn't face a quarterback like him. I think that's an underrated thing that doesn't appear on the stat sheet. So
the living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Good eye there.
And the last quarterback I want to touch on, a little bit lower, Joe Flacco. He has been a decent start since he's taken over in Chicago. Oh my gosh, what am I thinking? In Cleveland, of course. But I find myself wanting to start him. You know, in some of those matchups where I've got, you know, Herbert on my team that I lost him, or I'm dealing with the CJ Stroud or Trevor Lawrence concussion. Is he a viable start? Do you feel comfortable in that playoff matchup?
Who would have thought in the year 2023, we are, at least I personally am, advising a Joe Flacco start in the fantasy playoffs. He's going against the Texans. The Texans still very much in the hunt, still trying to win that division. But we talked about it at the top of the show. Seems like the quarterback, the future of that franchise. I wouldn't be surprised to see him rest again this week, right? Like, he's the future of the franchise. You're not taking any risks. It's definitely not worth it. The Texans, since week one, have allowed the most points to fantasy quarterbacks. Joe Flacco, it sounds crazy, but the Cleveland Browns are very much competing for a playoff spot. I could see him keeping up his hot streak, and I think that he is a viable starter in the playoffs.
They have the division within reach too, especially with the Baltimore taking on the Niners this week. You know, there's a chance they'd lose that. It gets them that much closer. But I like it. I think it's a good start. Who'd have thought it? Like you said, 2023. Joe Flacco starting a game and Carson Wentz is not.
Oh my goodness.
What's the age difference between those fellas? Probably like a decade.
I was thinking probably a decade, which is insane. Good for you, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I think he's a safe start. I say safe. He's going to throw some picks. He's not going to be a fun one to watch, but the yards that they're putting up, they're moving the ball. This defense is good enough to put them in good positions, and the fact that they're playing a backup quarterback, I guess that really could be your biggest challenge, I guess, in this game, is you don't have CJ Stroud throwing the ball, forcing points, forcing the Browns to really go. Mm-hmm. If they get up 10, 14 points, maybe a defensive score, or, you know, back-to-back turnovers that have set them up well. Maybe Flacco isn't forced to throw the ball a lot. So there is that concern as well. But with some of these guys, I think I'm taking them over, you know, Derek Carr, Sam Howell at this point doesn't have a great matchup against the Jets. Some of these guys that we've used later. Jake Browning, though, I think it looks like Fantasy Pros ECR has them back-to-back, 18-19. You have a favorite between the two?
I have Flacco considerably higher. I have Flacco, which sounds crazy, like closer to my low teens where Kyler lives. Like, I would have Flacco above Baker Mayfield, above Jordan Love, above Russell Wilson, above whoever's going to start quarterback for Seattle. I like Flacco more than those guys. Like, I'm looking last week, and you mentioned it, where if it is going to be a backup on Houston, right? Like, we know last week, the game script was Cleveland needed to come back in a little amount of time, so he had to sling it. But he had three interceptions, Flacco, and he still finished with 19.9 points. Good for QB9. That's a lot of nines, but he had the yardage. He had the two touchdowns. I'm not doubting Flacco, which feels crazy, but this team is trying to get into the playoffs. Flacco has that experience. I like him. He's a good locker room guy on your fantasy team.
I love the confidence there. Love the confidence in the play. I will say I would probably play Baker over him. I really like Baker's matchup. You know, he would definitely be on my nice list this week. I think he's got a great matchup against Jacksonville, who's giving up a ton of points to the quarterback. But take that. Nothing against Flacco there. I think they're both decent starts. Like you said, those low end or higher end QB2s this week. Mm-hmm. All righty, let's talk some running backs because we need some questions answered here. You got our guy, Austin Eckler, up there. Another guy who probably needs some veteran rest days. What are you thinking there? Where do you see Eckler. Him? Where's your confidence level?
Eckler, this one, out of everybody, I'll say you start off with the trickiest one. Eckler is an enigma, right? Like, he didn't lead the team in carries last week. That was, I think Isaiah Spiller was the running back that led the Chargers in carries. And that's because this game just got so out of hand so quickly. I believe the score was 42-0 at halftime at Vegas. So we didn't even get to see Eckler. In my mind, the biggest question mark was going to be, what does Eckler look like with no Keenan Allen, with no Justin Herbert? Is the game plan going to be, we always talk about like the Madden mentality, just force feed the ball to your best player. That's without a doubt Austin Eckler in this situation with two of those guys out. He didn't get the chance to prove if he's going to, if that's going to be the offensive game plan, what have you. So in my mind, Austin Eckler is such a risky start. There's a world where the offense comes up so flat again, he finishes with single digit points, sub 5 points. There's also a world where the Chargers recognize whoever, I forget who the interim is, but they recognize the best chance we have to win the game is give Austin Eckler 25 touches. Let him be in space. Let him thrive. You need to have some cojones like to start Eckler this week. I couldn't decide if he's a nice list or a naughtiness. He is an enigma. If you're brave enough to start him, I hope it's in your favor. I have him in a couple leagues. Some that matter, some don't, because of him, they don't matter. But he's far and away my trickiest one. Do you lean either way of the nice or naughty side for him?
Ooh, I mean, if it were up to me, he's getting a lump of coal. But for this week, I understand there's some positions where we're having to play him. Buffalo, you can get away with running the ball on a little bit. They're in a position where they're playing for everything right now. They've got to win out to make the playoffs. So they've got some heart they're playing with. We saw that in the game against Dallas. But I think the positive of Austin Eckler is he saw a 19% target share in this past game. It's the highest he's had since, I think it was week four. Through week nine. I'm sorry. Can't read my numbers. But I think that's where he's going to make it. Obviously, he had 5 rushes last week for only 9 yards. And then, you know, the 6 targets for 4 catches. That's really what's going to save you. I was about to say if he breaks off for a long one, but I don't know what's going to be happening. But it's going to be the heavy target share that he's going to need to see. But I've probably got him high end wide receiver or high end running back 3 this week. Low end running back 2.
3 running back 3 for Austin Eckler. Sir, definitely a first round pick for a lot of people. Had to be, and now he's your running back 3 into the playoffs.
Yeah, not your third running back on your roster, but like as a top 36 is what we're hoping for with him.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It's ugly. I'm looking at some of the names that the fantasy pros have him just in the same realm as. I mean, they have Gus Edwards above him. He's Austin Eckler's right above Jerome Ford. It's like these are guys you found off the waiver, right?
Yeah, Devin Singletary against Cleveland. I think I'd start Austin Eckler over him, especially with CJ Stroud out.
Yeah, Donta, I'm looking Foreman.
I would start Donta Foreman over him in a matchup against Arizona. Arizona is terrible against the run.
They are. That one I might do Eckler. Like if you're a team that's rich in running back, I think you feel comfortable not starting him because he's just too big of a question mark. He is just, we don't know what he's going to look like. We don't know what he's going to look like without Herbert, without Allen. And Allen may play. The Pittsburgh guys, yuck. I would probably start him over. I would start Eckler over those two. I feel like their ceiling is low, right? Like, what's Warren going to get you? 13 points, 15 points. It's like a Warren Christmas. So I'd rather Austin Eckler. And if he gets me 6 points, then shame on me. But Austin Eckler, he still has that capability. I still think back to week one, he came out the gate hot with, I believe it was 24 points. And I believe that Austin Eckler still exists somewhere.
Well, Eckler over Jonathan Taylor, transitioning over to JT coming back this week against a not easy matchup against the Falcons, 3rd best against running back.
Yeah, that was surprising to me to see how good the Falcons are against running back. But great segue to my nice list. He's on the nice list. Jonathan, full participant, Taylor. Something that was super important about Jonathan Taylor for me, just in general, is that he's missed the last 3 weeks. And the Colts specifically did not place him on IR. So you have to think he's not going to miss 4 weeks, because otherwise, why wouldn't they put him on that IR spot? So I have to think he's coming back this week. It's a tough matchup, but Jonathan Taylor, if he plays this week, I have him over Eckler. I think he has the potential to be a top 10 play, Jonathan Taylor.
I think so too. The amount of times the Colts ran the ball last week, like Trey Sermon came off the bench to rush with Tyler Goodson. Both Trey Sermon had 17 rushes in his zone. It was in Goodson had 11, I believe. So Jonathan Taylor should get quite, you know, I don't see him being stopped just because it's a thumb injury. You know, we're just waiting for it to be, closed up, make sure it's healed. I think he should be good to go. And Michael Pittman got the limited tag on Wednesday, coming off a concussion Sunday. We've seen a lot of these superstars clear concussion protocol recently within a week. He is one of those superstars, so I could see him coming back. But without him, Jonathan Taylor should feast against these Atlanta Falcons. Now, how productive is that? That's the interesting part. But the touches will be there. So he is definitely a confidence volume play, I feel like.
He's an opportunity play, and he's a talent play. I can't ask for more than that.
Well, in the playoffs, I'd like to. I get a little greedy, but I get what you're saying.
It's Christmas, though. It's a season of sacrifice.
Let's grab another guy off your list. We've got Saquon Barkley. Question marks are popping up. It's playoffs, and he did not do great last week. We have a matchup against the Eagles. Not a great matchup for running backs. I don't think DeVito is – do you think he's going to upset Hurts and the Eagles at home?
I'll tell you this. So they play on Christmas, so what a game that's going to be. The Feast of the Seven Fishes, the Giants get a little bump there. And the Eagles, when you think the Eagles, you think they're good against the run, right? I'm an Eagles fan, so I watch their games, unfortunately. And their last – I have to say, even though they're in the playoffs, like la-di-da, but unfortunately their last 3 weeks have been abysmal. And their defense is soft as of late. So these are the last three starters, the last three running back starters that play the Eagles, right? So 3 weeks ago, they went against Christian McCaffrey. He's the enigma. He is an anomaly. He's going to get his. He got 22.3 points against the Eagles. Sure. After that, Tony Pollard, who we all know had his slow start. He even got 16.6 points against the Eagles. And then just a few days ago, Kenneth Walker III, battling injury, came back healthy this week. Scored 20.2 points. So the last 3 weeks, they absolutely cannot stop the run. Saquon Barkley, we know he's explosive. I wish I had his history against the Eagles all time right now. That would have been good. But based on the most recent trends, Eagles can't stop the run. I think the Giants want to be competitive in this game, even if they can't make the playoffs or it's a moonshot for them to make the playoffs. But I have Saquon Barkley on my nice list this holiday season.
So between they're slipping against the running back, they're also 32nd against wide receiver and 31st against quarterback. Does that mean DeVito, is Wandale in play?
Wandale is in play. Wandale was, he didn't make the nice list, but he's been a good Samaritan. And, you know, he's definitely not getting a lump of coal, Wandale, but he just could not make the nice list for me. I just couldn't type him on like a very startable player. But yes, I do like Wandale. You're in a deeper league, right? We talked about where, I don't know, maybe you lost a guy to injury. Maybe Hill isn't coming back and whoever you had as a fill-in for him last week isn't getting the job done. Maybe Pittman doesn't play this week. There's a variety of reasons why you might need a wide receiver. And even in the deepest leagues, I believe Wandale is available. I like him as a little surprise sleeper pick this week.
And not to spend too much time on the Giants, but we've got Darren Waller, broke 40 yards last week on his return. Eagles are a little less than middle of the pack against tight end. Tight end one for Darren Waller this week?
Yeah, I'm not as excited about the other positions just because I feel like the Eagles let up like the big plays. And I think that that's going to come from the wide receivers more than... This is my thoughts about Darren Waller, is if the Giants get into like a short range, you know, if they're in the red zone, keep an eye on Barkley scoring that, or you're going to see them do a deep ball, an explosive play. And that's going to be the Robinson. So I just don't see where Waller fits in the wasteland. That is tight end. He probably is a low end tight end one, but he's not, He's not super high on my list.
Kyle Pitts or Waller?
Oh, you know, you know, I'm not a fan of Kyle Pitts. And I did write this at start, which you probably have read or you're going to be reading later today. It comes out today, Thursday as well. But Kyle Pitts, he's been absolutely slumping this last couple weeks and could be a great segue to talk about someone I have on my naughty list. If we want to talk about the Giants.
Absolutely. Throw them at me.
Okay. This one, you're going to like this one. Arthur Smith is on my naughty list this year because, oh my goodness, one of the biggest reasons why is the running back situation. We talked about it in last week's start where Bijan Robinson was going against the Panthers, which is just, they're terrible against running backs right there. I believe they were a bottom three team against running backs. This week they play the Colts, who I believe is the number four team allowing the most points. But it's some kind of bizarro land in Atlanta right now. Bijan Robinson had only 7 rushing attempts for 11 yards. Cordell Patterson, back from the grave, scores a touchdown last week. And Tyler Algier had the best day on the ground, arguably, because he rushed the ball 14 times for 45 yards. So I just don't know what to do with this backfield. So in terms of Bijan, you're probably almost starting him always, right? Because the talent is there, but the opportunity scares me. Again, this is the playoffs. I need consistency more than anything. Opportunity leads to consistency. I worry Bijan's not going to get his fair shake at things. So I am hesitant. And because of all of that, Arthur Smith is on my naughty list.
He's forever on the naughty list. He's not ever coming off the naughty list. But Bijan,
I don't think he deserves to.
Scares the crap out of me. It's, I know I've seen a lot of things about Tyler Algier. You know, should he be in play? I don't think so. I'm not going to trust Arthur Smith at all. I would trust Bijan. He is too talented not to do something. He scored negative in my league actually last week, negative 0.1. So I guess he
can.
Can
you start him? Yeah. He could be a detriment. I don't know. It's crazy to not start Bijan in the fantasy playoffs because he's probably a reason that got you there. He just scored 19.8 points the week before.
And the Colts are so bad against the run. Except Najee and Jalen Warren last week where they only allowed 10 points to the two of them. Nobody else has come close to being able to.
That's more on them.
Yeah, that's horrible. But it's, I don't know. Derrick Henry gave you a gross game last week. You putting him or Derrick Henry?
I'm putting Derrick Henry over Bijan. Who's Derrick Henry? I should probably see who they're playing first. They are playing.
Derrick Henry has Seattle.
Seattle. I'm trusting Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry maybe hurt me even worse because of historically, I think we saw 4 out of the last 5 games he faced the Texans. He's put up 200 yards. So I was expecting that, and then to get nothing definitely hurts. That one probably hurt more, but it's tractor Cito season, right? It's cold. Nobody wants to tackle him. I think last week was a wash. I think I'm discrediting that. But I'm worried about Arthur Smith. We've seen multiple times Arthur Smith doing some Cole-worthy decisions.
Madness. Well, let's go ahead and slide to wide receiver since we are in this game. We've got Drake London. He's hot. He's cold. As you know, most of these players, where is he falling on your wide receiver list?
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories, but your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Quite the naughty list, but
low.
I don't know. Can he be trusted?
No. No, he cannot. It's looking more and more like his week 14, his 11-target, 10-catch game was an anomaly. And so now we have Taylor Heinicke starting, where he's only played, Taylor Heinicke started 3 games. Drake London only played 2 of them, week 8 and week 10. He missed week 9 because of an injury. But in those 2 games, London averaged 5.5 targets for 4 catches and 45.5 yards. So that's not inspiring. Also, no touchdowns across that stretch. That's not inspiring. This is There's no fog in this London. There's no confusion. I'm staying away from Drake London.
I like it. Are you playing him or Jordan Addison after the blow-up game? They're playing Detroit this week.
I like Addison. Detroit, every game against Detroit is a shootout. They currently allow... It's loading. Detroit allows, since week five, they allow 2, 4, 6, 8, 9th most points to fantasy wide receivers, Detroit. So it's always a shootout. Nick Mullins seemed to get the ball to Addison. I'm not sure what the status is for Jefferson. I imagine he's playing. I know there was like that little injury scare where he had to get rushed to the hospital maybe a week or two ago. But I like Addison. Addison's hot. Drake London, I can't trust him. It's all about the quarterback. I talk about it a bunch. You need to trust the quarterback getting the ball to the wide receiver. I don't trust anybody in Atlanta. So staying away.
I've got London on my list, and I've got Deontay Johnson on my list. I feel like they're falling right around that same spot for me, about wide receiver 3-ish. Do you have a favorite between the two?
Wandale Robinson is my answer to those two. If you have to have one of these two guys, I think I'd go Johnson, just because I think it's a little bit more. He's the only kind of offensive guy there. Like, there is Pickens, but I'd pick Johnson over London, but I would take a shot in the dark on Wandale Robinson or Odell Beckham or like a Josh Downs or Gabby Baby. You hope he does well. There's just so many people I would start over these two guys.
Deontay Johnson, if Trubisky was out there, I would say Johnson over them, just because he has been on this hot streak, you know, 3 straight touchdowns. But we got the call. There's a red light in the sky. It is Mason the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He's coming in. Rudolph is he's going to be our quarterback. And it's
Christmas
just,
bump to Rudolph.
Rudolph and Browning. It's the end of the season, all right. Terrible. Yeah. But yeah, Deontay Johnson, I'm cooling off on him. I remember seeing Rudolph. He's something else out there.
Yeah. They're not playing the Browns, at least, so that's good. No controversy.
Toss me a wide receiver. Who's one you're questionable on?
Oh, I'm questionable on. Here's a good one. I'm going to say Cooper Kupp. Cooper sipping on my little cup is someone I am worried about for a couple of reasons. One, I will say, although Cooper Kupp has been kind of hot these last 2 weeks in PPR, he scored 25 points in each of the last 2 weeks. He's had 8 targets in each of the last 3 weeks. So I love to see that. But this week he's playing the Saints. The Saints allow the 5th fewest points to wide receivers. I do think that is a pretty legitimate thing to be aware of. I'll also say, I know this has been so many years ago, but whenever I see the Saints and the Rams play each other, I have to think that the Saints still have the no call pass interference on their mind. I don't even know how many players from this roster from that era are still on the Saints team, but you have to imagine it's instilled in the building. I think Kupp, you probably start Cooper Kupp here, one, because like you probably don't have too many better options. He's still probably a top 15 play, top 20 play, probably certainly, but I'm a little nervous. He's not as a slam dunk as you'd expect someone to be coming off of 2 straight 25 point games.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that, you know, like you said, the how well the Saints are against the position. They've only allowed more than 17 points in one game since week 8. And that game was 24 points. And this is to the entire position, not the number one wide receiver. So
wow, to the entire position.
So splitting that up, even just between him and Nacua, is troubling. Now Matt Stafford has been lighting it up. He's been throwing so many yards this year. He's been great, multiple touchdown games recently. So you definitely can't bench him. Yeah, he's not a guy you're going to be benching.
You're not benching him. You're not benching Kupp.
There are. I'd be surprised if he is a top end wide receiver one this week.
Agree with that. I think that's just my whole expectation, or my whole point I'm trying to get across with Kupp is you're still starting him. He's just been way too hot as of late. But I'm just tempering expectations. He has a touchdown in 3 straight games. Maybe this is the game where he gets 60, 80 yards, you know, 5 to 6 catches, no touchdowns. So instead of those 25 points, it's just a little bit more tempered.
Cool. As we get into the end of this, we'll kind of rapid fire here a handful of these guys. We do have Ja'Marr Chase out of the games. We have T. Higgins as a decent play where wide receiver 2 for you.
Yeah, I like T. Higgins. It's a nice little bump. I know this isn't going to make any kind of sense, but we saw what Jalen Waddle did last week without Tyreek Hill. I know they're not playing the same team. Like, this is totally nonsense, but it's a divisional game. I think divisional games always play a little bit harder. They always mean something. And I think T. Higgins, whether or not he's going to be a Bengal next year, just because he's probably looking for that big payday. But I think this game means something. I think the Bengals are really going to try to win with Chase out. That leaves Higgins as their head and shoulders number one. So I like T. Higgins to get 80 yards and a touchdown. I could see in the realm of possibility.
So we got T. Higgins against Pittsburgh or Davante Adams against Kansas City?
Great combo. So Davante Adams is on my naughty list, which, yeah, it's just that Kansas City, since week 6, they've allowed the 8th fewest points to wide receivers. And listen, Davante Adams, like, I was really happy about his result last week, but the Raiders are not putting up 63 points every single week. You know, the week before that, they put up 0 points. I think you're probably going to find a happy medium between 0 and 63. I'm going to take my long shot of the pod and declare that they'll score between 0 and 63 points as a team, the Raiders. But I'm a little hesitant on Davante Adams. So I think, as crazy as it would be, I would start T. Higgins over Adams.
We have Tyler Lockett against Tennessee or Noah Brown with no C.J. Stroud against who they play in Cleveland.
Cleveland, yes. I think I like Lockett there. Lockett has kind of always been this coin flip of a guy, right? Like last week against Philadelphia, he only had 3 catches, but he did have 9 targets. So you have to think they're going to continue to feed him. It was also the Drew Lock game. I think Geno Smith is coming back this week. I think they have a little bit better of a rapport, those two. I think Tyler Lockett is good for a low double-digit outing. So again, like, these aren't going to be your wide receiver ones, but now that we're like between the wide receiver twos and the flexes, those kind of guys, I pick Lockett.
Lockett or, I just lost him. Brandon Cooks against Miami.
Brandon Cooks. Ooh. So here's the thing about Brandon Cooks is that they're playing on the road and no team looks more night and day than Dallas when it comes to at home versus on the road. I'm looking right now. It looks like 4 of Cooks's 5 touchdowns come at home. Maybe that matters. Maybe it doesn't, but I'm lowering expectations on Cook a little bit. So I'm going to say lock it over Cooks.
Nice. Sweet. Touch on a couple tight ends just before we close it out here. A couple tight ends I do like. Hunter Henry. I think he draws Vance Joseph and the Denver defense. They are terrible against the position. Hunter Henry. Juju did practice, so there is a chance he could be playing this week. But I like Hunter Henry over the likes of Dalton Kincaid, Cole Kmet. I'd play him over Darren Waller this week. Where do you find him in that list? Isaiah Likely, do you like him more or less than Hunter Henry?
I think I like Likely a little bit more. The matchup is 1,000,000% in Hunter Henry's favor. And I think Hunter Henry will be a top 8, a top 6 play. I could see him being better than someone like a Kittle, who's often a coin flip. Maybe someone like an Ingram, who's been kind of hot with touchdowns. Like, I think Hunter Henry is a better play than those guys. But when it comes to Likely, we've seen Baltimore just loves getting the tight end involved in their offense. I think that's going to continue with Likely. I think it's likely to continue.
People are dealing with issues with Dalton Kincaid. Where are you landing him? Is he still a tight end 1 for you, like that low end tight end 1? If people have better options, are we moving on? Not moving on, but just, willing to start, Cole Kmet, Darren Waller, Dalton Schultz.
I think so. Cole Kmet, he is kind of, he's my like touchdown play, right? Like Cole Komet's definitely touchdown dependent, but the Bears, we talked about it. They're playing the Cardinals, right? Yeah. They're playing the Cardinals. The Cardinals are, now I gotta pull up how they are against tight end. They are one of the best teams against tight end. So they're actually not a great matchup. Tough to say. I think I'd probably still pick Cole Kmet, but you call me the waiver wire wizard. You're the tight end guy. You're the streaming tight ends. Like, I have one note on a certain tight end that surprisingly makes my naughty list, but like, I want you to go off. Tell me between the Kincaids and the Schultzes, where do you lie?
Yeah, I'm okay leaving Dalton Kincaid. You know, if we're benching him, I'm okay with that. Tucker Kraft was a guy, you know, I mentioned last week in the article. I think he's a decent play this week, despite, you know, us not showing a lot of love for the quarterback there in Green Bay. I like him. Dalton Schultz, he's a decent play. I think a lot of that depends on Nico Collins. If Nico Collins is in, I think I'm out on Dalton Schultz, just with the backup quarterback and it being Cleveland. Like I said, Hunter Henry, I think, is a great play. Isaiah Likely against San Francisco, I still think is. I would play these guys over. Oh, man. I still think you've got your studs in there, your Laportas, your Hawkinsons, your McBrides, Njoku. Evan Ingram, here's I think, one. Even. What you got?
Tell me what you think about Dallas Goedert. He's played 2 weeks since coming back from injury. He's been, I'll say, kind of middle of the road in both of those games with 7 points week 14, 7.1 points week 15. This week he's playing the Giants, who look to be middle of the road. Where does he rank with some of these guys we're talking about now, the Kincaids, the Schultzes?
I think I like him as more of like a middle tight end one. I do like him above some of those, like, they've been great plays, a lot of like strong waiver tight ends, but I think just with the, you know, his name, the team, what we've seen traditionally, you know, the last couple of weeks, he stepped it up way more. 9 targets last week. That's awesome. So nine I would targets. Still play him over Isaiah Likely, definitely over Kincaid. He would be over Waller and Kmet. I would play Hunter Henry above Dallas Goedert.
Hunter Henry is the golden child this week.
It's Vance Joseph. I've been targeting all season. I've been targeting him with the waiver wire. Like, I've been throwing out terrible names like Tyler Conklin and stuff like that this season, just purely because of Vance Joseph. But I think we'll see Hunter Henry. You know, he's going to produce us, I bet, a top 6, top 7 at the position. Just, you know, right after your studlies that we have at the top. Taysom Hill, he's always a shot in the dark. He burned me last week.
Yeah.
I'm always willing to play with fire with him, especially in the playoffs as a heavy underdog. Why not throw him out there?
Yeah. He's an underdog play. Yeah. The Rams if are you're great the 60 against the run. Okay.
Yeah, so maybe they need to mix it up a little bit, you know, toss it to him some. Maybe they're throwing it more. He's catching. I don't know, but
he's catching, he's throwing.
He does it all. He's tackling after Carr throws a pick. It's all everything. He's all over the place.
I saw, and I think it was last week's graphic, maybe the week before, but it was like they were listing all of the players all time in the NFL that have at least 10 passing touchdowns, 10 rushing touchdowns, 10 receiving touchdowns. It's a short company list. It is, I believe it was him and two other players with the only other play. Like, it was like 1945 was the last time a player like that played. So I don't think the team exists anymore. Last player to do that on. So that's amazing. Fun.
That's awesome.
All right. One tight end that I just want to talk about. Yeah. So the only tight end to make either list nice or naughty. This one's going to shock the world. But on my naughty list is Sam Laporta. You're still starting Sam Laporta. I know. You're still starting Sam Laporta because it's crazy not to. But I'm just saying that this week he plays against Minnesota. And that since week 10, Minnesota actually allows the third fewest points to tight end. We've seen that. Sam Laporta, he's mostly matchup proof, but he has been shown to bleed. Week 14 at Chicago, he only put up 4.7 points. Week 11, again against Chicago, 6.8. Against the Chargers, 8 points, which is still very, like, right, the average tight end gets you 8 points, you're pretty ecstatic. But I'm just saying, coming off a 28-point, 3-touchdown game, I'm lowering expectations. I still believe he'll find the end zone, but I just don't see it being a big volume game for Laporta this week. I would not be surprised if Sam Laporta finishes outside, I'll say top 8. I think I wouldn't be shocked if he's a tight end 9 or worse this week.
Interesting. So a guy most people got off the waiver wire, as well as Trey McBride, which one you're playing in that situation. I guess top eight, that means Trey McBride you're playing over him.
I'd probably play Trey McBride, but I will say Trey McBride is playing Chicago, and I did just mention Chicago was one of the few teams that was able to contain Laporta. So that's a what a perfect like matchup dance those two have. But I think I'd be higher on Trey McBride. I just think that Sam Laporta, I don't think he's going to be that lock. I wouldn't be shocked if he finishes tight end 9 or worse this week.
Interesting. Isaiah
Likely. And then after that, he plays at Dallas, which is another tough matchup. Isaiah Likely, I would pick a tough matchup, but I would pick Isaiah Likely over Sam Laporta this week. If I'm in like, you know, a do or die league, I don't know what kind of thing, like a survivor pool, but specifically for tight ends, and you're in, you know, week 16 and you haven't used these two guys, but I'd pick Likely.
Yeah, I think he's right around that cusp for me too. Like you said, you know, just, you know, outside of the top handful, because we've got some great matchups here for some of these. And Hunter Henry's kicking somebody out of the top 5 this week.
Exactly.
I think it's the top 6. I'm kicking that number up a little too much. This is, but we need to cut this. We're going too much, too far.
Hunter Henry, people. A top 3 tight end.
Goodness, all time. I'm getting drunk on tight end zone here. It's usually our signal to go. Well, everyone, we can't thank you enough for stopping by. We appreciate you listening. As always, check out our Sit Start articles on the website. Mario, let us know what we got going on. What you doing?
Yes, of course. So you'll find me on Twitter at Mario Domo Jr. You'll know it's me because I'm always retweeting any of these QB list pods that are coming out. I also do the waiver wire stuff, such as the waiver wire pod. And then you'll always find me in the Reddit threads. We do a thread Thursday morning. All the QB list guys usually hop in there, at least the ones that write the Sit Start. We're just answering questions. These are the playoffs. I know you're going to be in these tough situations. I'm in these tough situations. Let's figure it out together. Also, be sure to check out our Discord. I'm usually in there answering questions. Again, Mario Domo Jr. And that's it. Brian, what about yourself?
Well, you can find me, I'm @too_much_Brian on Twitter. You can find me on Reddit answering questions on the what we saw next year, because we won't be doing it the following weeks. We've got holidays to rest up for, but you will still get my tight end article each and every week to make sure we get that championship after next week, because who plays in week 18? Nobody does that. Nobody
plays in week 18. And I'll say what we'll do. Oh, we might do a little. Yeah, thank you. I was just going to say, keep an eye out maybe week 18, maybe the first week of the real playoffs, but we're going to do maybe like some kind of like a award show kind of thing, right? Like we're talking about maybe just doing like some honorable mentions. Maybe we're going to do some polls on the Discord. We're going to make it fun. So just keep an eye on that. Little teaser for that in the new year.
Yes, but for all of us here at QB List, stay tuned next week. We will have a adjusted schedule because of the holiday, but we'll be here for you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.